Janet, you know, she's the one that's home, and I'm sitting. Won't you have a cup of coffee?
No, thank you. I just had breakfast. A little late and eating breakfast.
Now, that's Janet. Now, she really,
Is Janet the one there?
There. She started with a neck hurt. Jean was going to stay. And Janet's neck started, so she thought she had them too. And so they done called up twice. she said, bring that on the way I knew. To get that chair up there for them tonight. They won't wait tomorrow. They want that chair tonight, today.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, make the daddy come in the station wagon tonight and carry that chair up there. And I thought, well, I didn't know where he could come in the station wagon or not. So I thought about Dorothy. Day was her grocery day, and I knew she was going up there. I thought she would, and I called her. And I said,
You couldn't trust, if you sent some of that ointment by Dorothy, you couldn't trust them to put it on.
No, I'm going to carry it up there tonight and put it on them myself.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But now you can buy it in a cube, you can buy it in a jar.
And what's the name of it?
Ithion. What is it called? I can't see it.
Ithion.
Impio. Don't get up, baby. I might write that down just a little bit. That was splendid is what bothers me. I'm not planning on months. Of course, don't always plan on things, do you?
No. How old was you when you had them?
I don't think I ever had them.
Don't think you ever had them?
Not that I know of.
Well, that's me. I don't know it if I ever did.
I sure don't go around getting exposed to them.
When is election day, the 14th?
I lost track.
14th, I reckon.
A runoff.
Then another one's on the 28th, ain't it?
It's plumb ridiculous. Plumb ridiculous. How do you think you spell it?
Happy.
I am?
Ipriol.
Yep.
Ipriol ointment.
And it's black.
Ipriol.
Ipriol ointment. It don't cost too much either, but doctors will put it on there if you got something in there they can't get it out or rising.
Oh, they do use it?
Yes, sir. I know the doctor used it on that Nissan line that time. But it's good. It's a good, for getting, a place that so we can fill with pus and all like that. Mm. It'll clean it out.
Oh.
E-P-P-R-O-F.
E-P-P.
E-P-P. Oh, well.
APP.
And that blue ointment, I mean blue medicine that we use, that's mighty good, you know, if you cut yourself, you keep up.
Yeah.
Anything from getting in it. Yesterday, I went in the kitchen, and I didn't even know down at my niece's, where my sister's sick. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know my hand was hurt. I knew I was trying to get that cake box open for her. Mm-hmm. And so if I didn't hurt it there, I don't know how I hurt it. And well, I just laid that thing open there. I didn't know it was hurt. And
oh, it's so yeah.
A half an inch.
So quick, you don't know what
it was. A half an inch, then you bat it long. It's about that long. And I'm tell you where it parted, just the top skin was busted where it is. And it looked like me lay it open like that. I sitting over there on the set to you. Rick, I looked up my hand. I said, Beaver, I'm hurt. And she said, well, how did you do it? Well, I got up and I went to look at it, and all over my dress here, you know, where I'd stuck my hands under me like that, you know, put my dress under me, that was bloody. Three or four spots of that. That was a great, great big one. Mm-hmm. I got up and went to something to put on it and hunted me some band-aids, and I couldn't find nothing. I come back in the living room, and Melly's got nice furniture. No, over there on that nice settee was a spot as big as water, mm-hmm. of blood. And so I quit worried about my hand, worried about that messing up the settee up. And our own nigger told me one time that if you had wet a place like that where you had blood, got blood on anything, if you wet it and then get some soda, and you put that soda, you know, that thick, I mean put it on thick and then kind of dampen that soda will pull every bit of that blood out. By the time that soda mm-hmm. gets dry, that blood's out of it. And I did it, and they're taking it out of there.
And it worked.
As soon as the blood, the soda got dry, I just raked the blood off, soda off, and now the blood was in it, and that place was clean. But I sure was worried about that. So it happened, Maddie called up and told me that I told her I'd hurt my hand, I messed up that settee, but I'd cleaned it up. And she told me where the bandage was, and it was over the stove. And it was just like me reaching over that refrigerator up under them high cabinets. Now, she's tall and her husband's tall, but why in the world anybody want to put band-aids up that high in the refrigerator, in the medicine cabinet was a box where band-aids have been in, but there wasn't any in it. But my skin is so thin, if you just touch it, it'll tear.
They take some paint and wrote a whole lot of these four-letter words on the sidewalk down there when they Beowulf was there as a coach, and calling him some bad names. And I sent some niggas out there with some soap and a scrub brush and all like that to get that off, but you take paint and let it get down in the pores of that concrete. It's just bad to get up. And, but I wet it and taken some trisodium phosphate and put over it and just dampened it and left it there all night. Next morning, that was all up.
Yeah.
But,
what is trisodium phosphate? Why would you have that around?
You clean with it. It's good. It's good.
Clean what with it?
Clean bathrooms.
Oh.
Bathrooms.
Yeah.
That's what we used it for.
I need some.
It's cheap. And it's a mighty good water softener. It hits that. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. Now, we was buying it when I went there. We were buying the stuff, and they called it Ban. And I taken me some of it and sent it over to the chemist building and asked him to tell me what it was.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you about a cold business. My doctor up yonder, that Friday, I went up there and I felt awful bad. I mean, in other words, I was sick. And my throat.
You mean this week?
Yeah, last Friday. And my throat was burning just like everything.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, well, I guess I'm taking a cold. I said, I feel mighty bad this morning. And I said, my throat's almost raw. And he don't have very much to say and all. He scratched some down his back and handed to me. He said, get this here filled and take one a day of these and take it at night. He says, it'll do away with that cold. And you know one tablet done it? One capsule. Now, buddy, that's cold medicine. So mm-hmm. I got it. You know, when I get a hold of anything, I don't turn it loose.
Yeah.
If it's good, I keep that strict.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you get a cold, just holler.
Well, you know, I don't do that. And that's a shame, isn't it?
Well, I do. If I get
and I can't even remember. I can't think back and remember those good
Well, if you happen to begin, your throat begins to burn. Then you feel like it's sore and you won't swallow.
Yes,
you fix to take a cold.
Yeah.
If you're starting time, sometimes you need to get thing over.
Yeah, that's a miserable time
yeah.
when you just got to look forward to.
I'm going to keep that prescription. Yes, and you know, I've got it on a ball, you know. If they didn't want to fill it at the drugstore, you know, they say, well, you'd have to get a new prescription. I said, well, you call Jimmy Daly over yonder and tell him that I said, send your prescription for this and give it to me. They called Jimmy. Jimmy said, give what you want. So I just get my stuff. I saved doctor's bill that way, see. Drugs don't call me to charge me nothing for the phone call.
Oh, they don't?
No. And they just call Jimmy, and Jimmy's okay anything I want. And so that I got it made pretty well on that way.
Mm-hmm. She'll tell him what to do.
Yeah.
That is like my niece down yonder, that when her baby was little, one's just finished up here in medical center, so the doctor now is in Japan. And he had colitis. And I had been on a vacation up in Georgia, and I came back by Waycross. And Roddy was better. I reckon he is about a year old, if he is that old. And Madeline said, well, I've had a time to keep Skeet from calling you. That was her husband. Said, when this baby got sick, said he wanted to call you, and I told him you hardly ever got to go anywhere, and I wasn't going to bother you. And I came in and I said, well, I wouldn't have tried it on this baby. I said, him, this is little, but I said, I know what it's done to the bigger child. I said, I'd give him about a fourth of a grain of calomel. I said, it would have stopped it when it started. So after I left, it started back. And Dr. Bussell was Paul's, our son's doctor, when we lived in Waycross. And they called him back out there. And she told him what I said. That aunt of mine told me that that's what she did. He said, well, now I'm going to tell you, I found out she's a pretty good doctor. Says, let's try it. And so they give it to him and said, stopped it right now.
Yes, sir. It's nice to have those.
Well, I don't know anything that I ever knew was good.
Guys,
I don't
she's forget fine for somebody else. Old doctor knowing she'll either kill you or cure you.
Now, doctor, she's good too.
Yes, sir. She's just like a good doctor, either kill you or cure you right quick. But she won't doctor herself, no more let nobody else doctor.
I do it, honey. You know, I generally, if I go to a doctor, I generally have to come back
home. It's a doctor. I said anybody else but doctor.
Well, I doctor myself.
I know, but you won't let nobody else doctor you, but you doctor everybody else.
Well, you know, they won't doctor themselves, you know, and I will doctor myself. But I'm like my sister Mary Lou, I'm going to have to come back and do something for myself.
Does she?
When you go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Does she doctor herself?
No. No, she'll grunt.
Yeah.
And she'll finally go to the doctor. But now you start to grunt, and boy, she'll come in and
get
start to give you medicine, start doing things for you. You better get well.
Two, one.
caught him side of the head and said they'd slap him on one side of the head, and then they'd put the other one over there to keep from breaking his neck, and said they'd slap him on the other side, and said they asked him, did he have it? He said, hell yeah, said they'd have to have it. Said if he didn't, said he'd knock his darn head off.
They'd come by, you know, they're shouting, they'd catch over to you and say, they'd ask you, did you have it? Did you have it? And hitting you. So, yeah, you'd say yes. Keep them knocking your head off. Then the people in your life, if they'll come to the house and told me, he says, you come on, get in the car, I want your shoes or something. And, so I got in the car with him, and he had to go up from where we were and come back in. Because there's only State Street and Plant Street was two of the main streets in town in Waco. And they was coming down that and walking two in a row, you know, parading over town. And I'm going to tell you of all the shouting you've ever seen in your life, they was doing it. And one girl was slinging her head and shouting, and she run into an old sticky rose bush. And you know that brought her too. And she just pulled down.
Well, the thing about it is, when they're all under the sheer spell, that fella can just snap his fingers and it's all over then, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, makes no difference.
Impact or second collision injuries.
Syrup, molasses with it, and a little bit of corn. Now that was good feed.
I don't know. I just hate to, they got 1,000 pounds of fertilizer down there, and then they got to replant them watermelons. That'll cost them money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it's costly or not to seed.
That cost and that labor too. Now, guy, what you got to pay labor now? You can't farm it with labor. Now you get well. What you have to pay?
Something like $4 or $5 a pound.
How many to the acre?
I imagine about a pound an acre.
And well, if you plant them by with a hoe, it don't take as much as it does with a planter.
Yeah.
But this wage and hour business, you know, it's going to ruin the farmers, small farmers.
I heard something the other day that. I don't understand exactly, maybe you know something about it, that this maintenance as far as plumbing and electrical work and plumbing and carpentry, they take it out of the maintenance department and contract it to some individual, you know, or some company to do the work like they did the cafeterias. Do you hear anything about it?
No, I haven't, you know, talking about it would know about it.
No, I don't, they didn't know enough about it to talk about it or anything, but they just said it was, a guy one time, they got a big notion that they were going to contract
you're not fixing to use the phone right now.
I got a call, so they were staying.
You
want
to sit in, do it?
I'll be right back.
Contract a janitorial work up there in the housing division. And, they sent us to Jacksonville once a week. I think we made 3 trips over there. for a lecture that man give and all like that. On that, how it should be run and all like that. Was them other people that went over there, guy, they didn't know anything about that kind of work or anything, and they just thought it was the grandest thing there was. Well, I had never made a survey of what a janitor made the territory that they covered and what it cost and all like that. But I went at it and I done it and I got it. These other people didn't have anything to show what it cost or nothing. They just showed what this man said it cost and what they done and all like that, which if they'd adopted that method of doing it, why, I would have had to have it at least a full-time secretary to keep up with it. And Dr. Racker, he didn't sit in these meetings very much, but that he was so interested in this, so he was at this meeting one Friday morning, and there was a fellow Collier. He was upholsterer over the furniture repair shop, and then Philip Bracken that I don't suppose they ever swept up a room in his life, let alone anything else. And, I told them that they understood what they wanted was to get more work, better work, for less money. That was the idea. That was the idea. And when I showed them the figures that it would cost to put this other company's that in production and all that and all what it would cost and so much 100 feet that it cost to maintain places and all like under their probe. What we were doing it for 1/3 what they were doing, and I says it's the only thing. I said it's just up to you. Is how thorough it's done and all like that. And I says, now, the complaints that has been against this man's program has been 3 times as much as been against the one that we got. Son, that killed that whole damn thing, and I never heard no more about it. Because I did have the facts and figures there to show them what they were doing.
Well, now, on the food service, the university figures that they can lease it out and make something and get a little improvement over what they do if they run it.
Well,
is information I have.
Well, that's true, and possibly they will. But now, if they had the right kind of management, you know they couldn't do it. But now I'm going to tell you, this year, maintenance department, there's something wrong about that. There's two boys got scuffling and playing up there, and they tore up two closet doors. They were just common little old two-panel doors. It was old as water. And I went down there, and old Charlie McCann, what I wanted, you know, I wanted the price on them. $30 a piece. I said, Charlie, that's terrible. He says, I know it. He says, that's what we got to get for. I go downtown to a private shop, and I tell them the specifications and all that I wanted. The doors made and fixed and all that good. And they quoted me a price of $9 a piece.
Yeah. How you figure that?
And I went back down there and I told Charlie, I said, Charlie, you know what they charged me downtown to build these doors? He says, yes, about $8.50 a piece. I said, well, I said, it's not far wrong. I said, $9. He said, well, says Bush to come out and says that's what we got to get. Well, when they give you an estimate on anything they do up there, they double it to start with. Then they add 45% to it for overhead. Then 10%.
Ooh, is that leased out?
No, they figured on doing it. That's what I heard, just in a roundabout way. Not enough for you to quote me as saying anything.
That thing ain't known, is it?
I don't know that much about it, but they are thinking about it. But
well, if they run it themselves and charge that much. You see, I can't, I want a piece of plywood put on the back of a book piece up there. And they charge much for it, I can't get it through the department.
That's right. Well, the first thing, now just like the people,
if it's cheaper, just go ahead and get a,
and get a, it's all.
Miss, oh, that woman up there, 1510, upstairs. She wanted a light in the back hallway, back stairway. Well, I thought it was probably she used the back stairway more than she did the rest of it. $5. I said, why, Paul? I said, that's terrible. She says, I know. And I take his own figures, how much wire will it take, he told me. I said, well, now, you know, there's not any way that the house that you can get it inside, I said, it's got to be put up on the outside and then that cover over the wire, you know. Then I says, that's the way it's got to be put up. And a building like that, I says, it's perfectly all right. How much wire and how much of that insulation over it, conduit or whatever it was, how much then? And you know the actual cost of the fixture and the wiring and all to put that thing in was $7.15. And I'll say that it would take a slow man 35, 40 minutes to put it in, but say an hour. Well, you've got about $10, $10 and a half at the outside for labor and material and everything. That's as much as you could figure it. But to be on the safe side, say he doubled it. and it was $21 for that. Then he add 45% and then 10% to that. What he said wasn't too bad wrong. It wasn't too bad like it was. But now you know ain't that scandalous?
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered when in the devil somebody was going to say something about it. But you know, they told me that I couldn't have them doors built downtown for $9 a piece. But they could give me a purchase order to have it done down there for $30 a piece. You know, I went back up there and I told them boys the actual truth about it. They come clean, said they were just shutting one another up in the closet. And that's how come they tapped the door. They didn't kick about having to go and pay for it. They didn't kick about that, no. And I told them what it was. I said, you go down there and get the doors. I said, you go down there and get the doors. And I said, you have a maiden, bring them up here. And I said, I'll put them on there. And I said, I won't charge you a dime. And, what did you say? What was that fellow? Was a student counselor. And he went down there and they went down there and told him what I told him to do. He says, you can't do that. I went over there and told him, I says, the hell they can't do it. I say they can do it. And I says, I'm the one that's got to be satisfied with the stuff. And you know, he told me, he says, if you do that, says, I'll report you to the housing authority. I says, I don't care if you do. I says, the outside, I says, I've got about 3-4 months long to stay here. And, but I did stay over about a year and a half.
Well, I never have understood how they mark that those costs up so much and charge it to all them apartments.
Well, that's the way they do it. The man that makes the estimate.
What is the object in doing that?
Well, they claim that it takes that to take care of that 45% added to it. Is the overhead, you know, these big bosses. You see, every 5 or 6 men out there has got a boss that don't work.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it, is that 45 cents is to pay the overhead. Now, and them fellas know that they better not make an estimate and it was under. If they make one over, that's all right. That's perfectly all right, but don't make one under. It is rotten, not a trouble. And nobody never said nothing to me about it. And I don't see where they had any right to, did you?
I don't know, Phil. No, I don't see how they had any right to.
No, sir. The boys got the doors.
Yes.
And paid for them and brought them back out there.
They was the ones going to have to pay for them.
They was going to have to pay for them.
Oh, shit.
And a hammer for $1.25.
Yes.
And $5 for a hammer. And I used to buy
Corbin Don over that cross creek.
Well, I have to buy so much from Huff, and I don't get a ton, but I just, you know, just a little bit. give them a tease. Teeing anyhow.
Yeah.
They can eat that old dead grass and water lilies.
They was good little pigs out there, wasn't it? You know, pretty good. But that sure killed it, boy. It mowed my lawn. If I didn't have, won't have to mow it. It's mowed.
Yeah. Oh, it mowed everything.
Mm-hmm. The other day I'd asked you what to do with my apple tree out there. It's never bloomed or anything since it's been out there. But it looks like it ought to bloom, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
And then spray it and all like that. It would probably make an apple, I don't know. Yeah. In North Georgia, tree come up, volunteer out there on the ditch bank, and after a while they'd ban and put apples you ever seen, and pay no attention to it.
Yeah.
But you just don't have them things now.
No.
No, you take these little citrus trees you put out. You feel like you got to work them all the time, fertilize them.
Bite that one there, bad old does. Sprout it out, you know, and start growing and tender.
Have to grow.
Some of them are down there. It's still Buddy Huss picking his on you, but they said that grove on this side up to your right belongs to a Garrett. And they bit pretty bad. But he did fire his. But I noticed Richardson was sticking his. I'm kind of scared of frozen fruit now. I don't know where he is frozen or not. I'm about to have another fire tonight.
Well, they make that concentrate out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It looks like to me if it hurts you to eat it one way, it hurts you to eat it the other, don't it?
Yeah. Well, they go ahead and make it up.
Don't do.
You know, they're all right for a while, for a week or two. And then, of course.
Well, I imagine. Well, they say when it thaws out, that's whenever it hurts you, you know, the sours.
Yeah.
And so that's when it gives you that dysentery.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you eat them.
Up there, I had an old seedling tree, and it was a mighty good tree. It had some good oranges on it, and a lot of them. And that big freeze come and killed them. They fell off, and I wanted to mow the lawn. I picked them up, piled them over the fence. After a while, the cows were down there. I didn't know whether to hurt them or not, so I went in there and got me a can of kerosene when I damn pulled it over them. We won't eat them now. You know, they don't want them.
Kerosene, no?
Kerosene.
Lord,
they sure did.
Kerosene, oh.
I wouldn't either, but you know, they'll get choked on oranges. Did you ever have any to get choked on oranges?
No, I never had any oranges. Mm-hmm. I've heard to get choked on.
Mm-hmm. He heard on, said he'd had several to get choked. Said he had the doctor several times, and then he learned how to do it. Just take an old water hose and run down his throat. You know, to break that orange, and says he's seen break them, you know. And when they'd go down, says the cow bells, and says, buddy, you could tell it was an orange, you know, from the way the odor would come by. And says they'd be all right in just a few minutes, they'd begin to eat. And all of a sudden it hangs in the throat, and says, doctor, just take, he had a hose looking thing, you know, run down his throat, and push it down, ready to bust it.
To show you all the Pennfield women of Flighty. Everybody in Macomb, it seemed, had a streak. A drinking streak, a gambling streak, a mean streak.
This is, you have to speak into this. They have them, you know, that
you got that thing, Charles.
What they call a conference mic is pick up conversation, but this won't pick up the conversation.
Now that tape, how long will it last?
Oh, it lasts a long time, 45 minutes. And then you turn it over for another 45 minutes.
Well, when you turn it over, what's the other done in it?
No, you turn it over and then you play on the other side.
Well, I mean, that tape that's on there, then when you turn it over, you still got those voices?
Yeah. So on this little bitty old thing here, you've got an hour.
No. You know, after Carolina come in, you don't get nothing from them.
Well, that's it.
But they generally try to get them in, get a week or two of them, whenever Florida quits down here, you know, between season from here to Carolina. Squashes and things like that. But if you don't mind, sometime carry plant too late, Carolina comes in with it right here.
Yeah.
And it does, it messes you up. You don't get nothing for your stuff.
I don't know. I was started over your house this morning about 4 o'clock. Brain mushy.
Yeah. That's about 1 o'clock and that scoundrel got you at 1:30.
It was?
Yeah.
He kept barking, and he don't do that. He don't get out and just bark like a dog. There's something around now that bothers him if he barks, but I just thought that he just was going to be aggravating like some other dog, and he just barked, and all like that. He kept barking, and I got up, and Mabel said, I went to the window. Dan says there's something under my car, said it must be a cat that he's got on that car and been barking at it. I got up and took the flashlight and went on down there and I stooped down and I looked under there and there was a great big old possum.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean he was a big one too.
Yeah.
I would come back in there and I got
under the car.
Under the car. You see,
and Mushy wouldn't get under
there
again.
He could.
Mushy couldn't get under the car. It's too low, you know.
Yeah.
And I got me a maple walking stick and I cracked him in the head with it. And he went out the back and he didn't get far before Mushy caught him. But I went out there and got him and put him under a basket out there and put a bucket, rain bucket on top of it. I thought, well, maybe they ain't gonna stay under there. And I kept Liza. Liza loves possum. So maybe carried the possum this morning. No, generally, if there's anything most, you just tell Mushy to shut up and go to bed,
yeah.
And he'll go and do it.
Yeah.
But last night, he just kept barking. I went to sleep, and he woke me up barking again. And I'll just get up and see what's the matter with him. If there ain't nothing the matter with him and he just barking, I came on over yonder guy.
That barking wakes me up first thing. I can hear barking down there in the pasture.
He wasn't barking loud. He just yip. You know, like that.
Yeah.
You know it would. I told Phil when we went to bed, I said, something aggravating that dog out there.
You got a dog? Who dog was you say that you hear?
All those niggas. Oh, that dog's like Miss Bessie's cats, you know. She got enough cats there, they stay at home in the daytime, but at night they fan out.
Yes.
We carry that possum little lies and carry him. Boy, they'll cry out at him. He's a fat one, too.
Yeah.
Well, I said that thing, it had a many folks' chickens all around here.
Yeah.
I used to catch good many of them down at the chicken house, you know, set a trap and catch them. And I caught several down there.
Oh,
but
man.
I caught one of them wild house cats down there once. And,
yeah.
Boy, and I caught a hawk. And you know what that hawk put up a fight, him.
Yeah.
Where did you
catch me in the trap?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The hawk killed was a big old hawk. They call him some kind of an eagle. I don't know, but I call it a hawk. And caught a hen. And he ate about half of the old hen. And I take it and put it in close to the trap, you know, and set the trap, put it close to the trap, and the hawk come back after the rest of it, and I caught him.
He just walking around there and got into it?
Yeah. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a possum, and sometimes they'll leave things like that and then come back. Not often. Mm-hmm. It's more that, like, I had some ducks down there in the pond, and the last two I had, the possum killed them both and covered one up with leaves, you know, and carried one off, and he come back the next night after the other one.
The possum did?
Yeah, possum, one he had covered up, you know.
Yeah.
And Uncle Will had some traps around there and caught him when he come back after the other one.
I never saw a possum working on anything like that. They must move around pretty fast.
They're mighty slow.
When they get the chicken?
Well, they move, eat it up and jump on him or something like that. But a possum's a mighty slow thing. Anybody can outrun a possum.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
They're mighty slow.
I wish I had a dog over there, but I'd wonder. I wouldn't want just any dog, you see.
No.
Some of them are such a big nuisance. Freddy lost one of his dogs, and Fred did.
That was kind of stay at home.
I wished you had a dog like them killings got up yonder. And one that good of nature and all like that.
They're good for cows too. Huh? You know, to help you with cows.
I'm afraid of that dog.
Yeah, those are the nicest dogs you can have.
If they're all right.
You know, when you raise them, play with them, and all like that, they got sense like folks.
Yeah, they got so much sense.
That's it. They were dogs.
After
they're not vicious unless you tie one up. You can tie him up, you know, and make almost any dog vicious.
But don't have him after he's gone. You got to get them not over 3-4 months old and raise them yourself. And every time that you give them away and change their from one to another, they get worse. They get more vicious. Paul's got one down there that's changed hands 3-4 times, and she's as vicious as she.
But they had keep them tied up so much too.
That seems to ruin any dog. Just keep them tied up.
Mm-hmm. But
they'll make them mean.
Make them mean.
But you take a German police dog and let him follow you around there where you go, and next thing you know, if you wanted a cow trying to put in a certain place, that dog put him in there.
Mabel, you found right smart. Now this, let me ask.
You ain't got that thing tearing on, have you?
No. It's in this setback now ain't gonna hurt them, isn't it?
Yes, it'll hurt them. It'll hurt them bad.
It'll sow them off.
Hmm.
And then it'll sow the, sow these vegetables up so much later than they were.
Now, I've had them killed even in April. Yes, I've had them killed in April, but even when they're blooming, they'd be that big around, them blooming, and be killed.
Well, now look, take these watermelons. They've already laid the fertilizer and everything, you know. And they're going to plant them late, and that'll put them in. They'll all be coming in together. Mm-hmm.
You won't, you may have a week here of shipping stuff. And the next thing you tell you where Carolina's come in, and when Carolina comes in, you just will stop, because further up the state that it goes, better the stuff is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people up north rather have the stuff in Carolina and have it in Florida. And they rather have Virginia vegetables when they come in. They taste better.
Yeah.
And further up you get, better the taste.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and put it in corn or something like that?
Well, I tell you,
hey,
guy, the thing about it, like Freddie, he depends on that to pay his debts with, and to live, and the corn, he, in other words, the corn, when he, he's got to wait till this fall before he can get it, and he figures he can get more money out of the vegetables and watermelons. If he hits the watermelons right.
Well, he's already missed it.
And
not necessarily.
He may come on in. Maybe it may damage the crops way on down.
But it'd bring them in together.
You know, yeah, bring it in together. But still, they generally get a high price for their stuff down here, and then you get another price on up like that.
Guy, you can plant beans here and down there. Them muck Everglades the same day, and them beans will come in 8 to 10 days earlier than these will.
Well, they can make them in 4 to 6 weeks down there, beans, and it nearly takes us about 8 weeks to make them up here.
Well,
but they don't have much taste to them, they grow them off so fast.
You just got me now. You see, they got that back pasture over there all filled up with fertilizer, road, just go ahead and put it in corn or put it in grass.
Have they planted the watermelons on your place yet?
Yeah.
They have planted.
Yeah.
Well, they are.
Some of them.
Well, I tell you now, if they don't have no more of these hard colds, they can plant now, and it'll come up and grow mighty fast. It'll grow awful fast. But you can have stuff up and let it.
But it's going to grow up all up the line.
If you,
fast too.
Yeah, oh yeah, and if you have a cold to hit them, if it don't kill them, it stunts them. And it looks like it takes a long time, you know, to bring them out of that stage.
Yeah.
But you can plant, you know, and they'll come right here, coming in, and be prettier stuff than that the cold has hit.
Yeah. Well, I'm just sitting here taking your time. I ought to go on over and do something.
Boy, you shouldn't be taking my time.
He said anything here didn't bother up. Time didn't bother. I mean, he had plenty of. That's where you put it.
Well, now, if you had the watermelons back there, would you just go ahead and replant them?
Well, now, Guy, I might have to, because you got that fertilizer bill, and you know that's terrific.
Yeah, but that
and you got to try your best to.
And make a lot of corn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
sure
make
would.
A lot of corn.
And that'd be money in your pocket, because you.
Well, it's one thing about that, about planting the corn. If you can't sell it today, you can wait till tomorrow. And if you can't wait, sell it tomorrow, you can wait 6 months and sell it. But on this vegetable business, you've got to sell it the day that it's ready. You got to gather it, whether it brings anything or not.
You know, one thing I think they don't do on the corn here is that they do one of my neighbors up there in Blackford did. He had that indigo coming on just when the corn started firing up. It's already up, you see. And then that'd come on. See, corn quits growing. All it does is just stays there and feeds. And that indigo comes up, and it gets extra sick. You know, the cow can't hardly walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got two crops practically.
Yeah.
And that fertilizes ground.
But the fertilizer that they got down for those watermelons would really make corn.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you take that
and if it gets the water with it.
Big stalks, you know, like your fingers, big stuff like that. And you take that stuff and grind it up where they can eat it with what leaves and small things is in it too. And you know what there is good hay? It is good hay. We just tried some once, just a few bales of it. And we take some and put just a little corn in it.
Some of Bruce rewrite and what it did to their material, or who refused to write.